From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Once again, we count it a privilege to welcome you to another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies on the law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite your attention to this devotional thought from C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text is found in the Song of Solomon, chapter 7 and verse 13. Pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. The spouse desires to give to Jesus all that she produces. Our heart has all manner of pleasant fruits, both new and old, and they are laid up for our beloved. At this rich autumnal season of fruit, let us survey our stores. We have new fruits. We desire to feel new life, new joy, new gratitude. We wish to make new resolves and carry them out by new labors. Our heart blossoms with new prayers, and our soul is pledging herself to new efforts. But we have some old fruits, too. There is our first love, a choice fruit that, and Jesus delights in it. There is our first faith, that simple faith by which, having nothing, we became possessors of all things. There is our joy when we first knew the Lord. Let us revive it. We have our old remembrances of the promises. How faithful God has been! In sickness, how softly did He make our bed! In deep waters, how placidly did He buoy us up! In the flaming furnace, how graciously did He deliver us! Old fruits indeed, we have many of them, for His mercies have been more than the hairs of our head. Old sins we must regret, but then we have had repentances which He has given us, by which we have wept our way to the cross and learned the merit of His blood. We have fruits this morning, both new and old. But here is the point. They are all laid up for Jesus. Truly, those are the best and most acceptable services in which Jesus is the solitary aim of the soul, and His glory, without any admixture whatever, the end of all our efforts. Let our many fruits be laid up only for our beloved. Let us display them when He is with us, and not hold them up before the gaze of men. Jesus, we will turn the key in our garden door, and none shall enter to rob thee of one good fruit from the soul which thou hast watered with thy bloody sweat. Our all shall be thine, thine only, O Jesus, our beloved.
I cannot tell why He would angels worship, should set His love upon the sons of men. Shepherd, He should seek the wanderers to bring them back, they know not how or when. But this I know, He heals the brokenhearted and saves our sins.
Stop.
One of the chief characteristics of the Protestant Reformation of the 16th century was the preeminent place given to the Bible. The Reformers' motto was, "The Bible alone, the religion of the Protestants." Men such as Martin Luther and John Knox insisted that the Holy Scriptures contain everything necessary for Christian faith and practice. It is important for believers in the 21st century to understand the central significance of the Bible in daily living and in the battle for spiritual truth. Let the Bible Speak is making available free of charge a booklet called The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, published by the Trinitarian Bible Society. To obtain your copy, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, you may simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Bible and the Protestant Reformation, and we'll be delighted to provide it. As Dr. Cairns continues these studies in the law of God, he's focusing on the full force of the Ten Commandments. We've seen that God is more interested in heart attitudes than in outward actions. In Matthew chapter 5, Christ strips away much hypocrisy from those who seem outwardly righteous. Dr. Cairns is now explaining several important things accomplished by the law. It expresses the holiness of God. It exalts the goodness of God. Further, the law exposes the wickedness of sin, showing how really awful it is in God's sight. Then it extols the sinlessness of Christ, God's perfect sacrifice for sin. Now here's Dr. Cairns to continue this message, the full force of the Ten Commandments.
You may compare yourself with others and come to the conclusion you're not such a bad person after all. But God doesn't compare you with others. He brings you to the standard of His law. And that law rips off the facade of decency with which you cloak your sin. As we stand under Mount Sinai, every one of us stands condemned as a lawbreaker. You hear God go down the 10 words, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." We stand there and we confess we have not worshipped God with a pure and a constant love and devotion. We hear the second commandment and we have got to confess we have not worshipped in spirit and in truth. We can never say that our worship has always been scriptural, pure, hearty, and spiritual. We have lacked that deep reverence and that awesome fear of the name of God. We have even used the name of the Lord lightly, not only in conversation, but perhaps even in our praying. We have not counted his Sabbath a delight, but have profaned it. Sometimes even while we pride ourselves in keeping it. Lest you think that a little thing, let me tell you, God in many parts seems to take that fourth commandment and lift it up as the touchstone to see just how anxious people are to obey him. And I want to tell you, the people who trample the Sabbath day beneath their feet and think little of it, think just as little of the God who gave it. We have not guided and guarded our family relations with biblical faith and biblical humility. We have failed to carry that Christ-like attitude to lawful authority in our home, in the church, and in the state. The commandment says the children should honor their father and their mother. Some of you think that you can be Christians by cursing father and mother. You delude yourself. Some of you think you could be right with God while you despise the parents that God has given you. You delude yourself. But the man who despises his earthly father will have no love for his father in heaven. Then we have come under God's description of a murderer. Have you never been filled with carnal rage? Have you never felt that boiling over of the anger and the bitterness of your heart? Have you never looked at another man or woman with a hatred that could kill him if it weren't for the consequences? God says, murderer! God says. Have you never stained your soul and defiled it with wicked uncleanness? Not only by physical actions and immorality, but by indulging those lusts of the flesh which you can easily fob off as mere fantasy. The psychologists and the psychiatrists of the world will tell you this is healthy. Heard them say it. This fantasizing of lust and wickedness and immorality or envy or whatever, it is a good thing. It's clearing out of your heart, my friend, it's doing no such thing. God says, adulterer! Guilty before God. Have you not indicted yourself as a thief before God, disregarding the rights not only of others, but even refusing to give yourself and your substance to God? The man that would steal his life from the service of God is as big a thief as Satan himself. Have you not painted yourself as a liar before God? How often we cast off our obligations to men and think nothing about it. How often have you lied to God? You remember the parable the Lord Jesus told in Matthew 21? When the father said to his sons to go and work in the vineyard, and one said, I'm not going. But he repented and he went. And the other said, I go. But he was a liar and he never did go. Are there not some of you here tonight? You've heard this gospel of God's grace and the invitation from the cross of Christ, and you've heard God's commandment to you to repent and turn to Christ, and you've said, "Yes, Lord, I'm coming." But liar! You've never done it. You've never done it. And have you not, even sometimes as a Christian, vowed, but have never paid your vows? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Have you not trampled the 10th commandment beneath your feet with every kind of selfishness, covetousness, and greed, as well as a faithless, carnal murmuring against God's sovereign disposition of your affairs? You look at this law, and I want to tell you, the law exposes the wickedness of the heart of man. I have not yet begun to plumb the depths of the wickedness of your heart or mine. It is a very pit of hell for seething iniquity, uncleanness, rebellion, and wickedness. Not much wonder Paul said, "Whatsoever things the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and the whole world become guilty before God." The next time you feel like thinking or saying how good you are, or really how innocent you are, or how excusable you are, remember that God has given 10 words, and every one of them thunders at the door of your conscience and cries, "Guilty! Unclean! Unclean! Wicked!" But thank God the law does something else. It extols the sinlessness of Christ. What a joy to turn from the sinner's breach of the law to Christ's perfect obedience of that same law. And the very recital of our sin and our wickedness highlights the beauty of Christ's sinlessness. The Word of God testifies again and again to that sinlessness. I have often turned you to these texts of Scripture that say he did no sin. There was no guile in his mouth. He knew no sin. He knew no sin. And while I don't want to force the word too far, yet the two basic terms in the New Testament that are translated to know are of some importance. And I think the emphasis here is, as he went through his life, not only intuitively did he not have sin, but the Lord Jesus Christ, in all his coming into contact with real life and the low life that very often he had to deal with, he never came to know sin. He never in his mind ever once entertained sin. He did no sin. He knew no sin. In him is no sin. Because as Paul says, he is holy. He is harmless. He is undefiled. He is separate from sinners. And that's why God spoke from heaven, shattering the silence of earth. And he said, "This is my beloved Son. In him I am well pleased. Satan hated them. God says, I'm pleased with them. Man cursed them. God said, I'm well pleased with them. The religious establishment crucified them. God said, I'm well pleased with them. Why? Because he's the sinless, spotless, pure and holy Son of God and Son of Man. When each commandment of God confronts you and me, it cries, guilty. But when those same commandments confront Christ, they cry, we find no fault in him at all. Rather, in him we find perfect righteousness. I've described to you the two tables of the law. The first table, our duty to God. The second table, our duty to man. The first table of the law confronts Jesus Christ and testifies, here I find a perfect love for God, for his worship, his name, his day, and his service. In the Lord Jesus Christ, I find no tardiness in obeying the Father, but only a constant zeal for his glory, untarnished by any inferior motive. The second table of the law confronts Christ, and it testifies, here I find a perfect love for man, such a love that neither angels nor men can comprehend, a love that feels no sacrifice to be too great, no suffering to be too painful, to save the guilty souls of men. The law minutely examines the Savior, and it says, here I find a body free from every taint of inbred sin, a body that is the perfect temple of the Holy Ghost, a body that has never been home to any unrighteous word or thought or deed. Here I find a mind unstained by any wicked lust that has never entertained a thought that is in the slightest degree unworthy of God. And here I find a will inflexible in its disposition to all good, whose affections are invariably godly, and whose decisions or choices are unfailingly right. Here, says the law, is the sinless, pure, and holy Jesus. Any lesser righteousness would leave Christ a debtor to the law and unable to save anyone. But praise God, his was no lesser righteousness. Such perfection defies man's puny comprehension. I have to confess, this was something I wanted to deal with in this message tonight, and I laid it aside because I have to confess, I have no words. My imagination cannot stretch even to begin to grapple with this. So often we hear, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And some facile idiot will come along and tell you very clearly what Jesus would have done, said, or thought. Now there are certain circumstances in which I have no doubt what he would do, say, or think, because the Bible describes them. We have them recorded. But there are so many circumstances whereas a sinful man, without any understanding of sinless perfection, I can't even begin to know how a sinless being would respond, except to say he would respond sinlessly.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake, If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.